Let's take our Bible, shall we, and open up to John chapter 10 this evening. John chapter 10. And we have a passage just to read here to begin our study time this evening. And the title of the message this evening is Application. Application. And if you looked in the bulletin and saw what was written there, Kiralee didn't make a typo there. I said to leave that as it is. So you may get the gist of that later as we go through this evening. Let's just read God's word then, shall we? Beginning at verse 7, and we'll go down to verse 11. Then said Jesus unto them again, Verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. All that ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. The thief cometh but for to steal, and to kill, and to destroy. I am come that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for his sheep. In this passage, we read about an opportunity that each and every one of us gets. And I hope each and every one of us has taken a hold of. And that opportunity is to enter through the door into the sheepfold of the Good Shepherd. That is the opportunity, as it says there in verse 9, the opportunity to be saved. It says there, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved and shall go in and out and find pasture. An opportunity to be saved, an opportunity to find pasture, to find rest, and to find safety. And I want to ask you, as we head into this new year of 2016, where do you stand? Where do you stand in relation to this as we head into this new year? Are you within that fold? Let's just pray this evening, shall we? Lord, we are thankful for your word, which is light. We're thankful, Lord God, for your word, which endures. For the promise, Lord God, that your word will not return void, that won't be useless. And we pray, Lord, as we look at your word this evening, that your word would be that light, that those promises that you have made we would see to be very true in our lives, Lord God, as we sow the word in our hearts, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, it's interesting. Our phones are amazing gadgets. Now, if you want to take this opportunity just to quickly check the cricket score, you can do that right now. But our phones are amazing gadgets. And I remember the very first mobile phones. Now, some of you might think mobile phones have been around forever. Well, they haven't. The very first mobile phones they had were these things called bag phones. Who had a bag phone? Some people had a bag phone. Okay, I can remember borrowing Uncle Bob's bag phone when we went away on our quick little three-day honeymoon. And we took his bag phone. I don't think we used it. It probably didn't work that well back then. But it was a bag. Sometimes they called it a brick. And we know that phones, over the years, although the trend is going back the other way, have got smaller and more powerful. But I see phones are getting larger again. And these phones that we have now, these so-called smartphones, and I heard someone say today they didn't have a smartphone. That's right, it's on War Room, I'll spoil the joke. But they didn't have a smartphone, they had a dumb phone, which didn't have any power at all other than to ring people. But these smartphones, they have these little things called apps, okay? They have these things on them called apps, which is short for application, all right? And they have these little things, amazing things, like it has got the cricket score, I won't look, all right? I've got my Richmond one here as well. Okay, there's lots of really good apps you can get on here. We've got one here that we use quite a bit at home. It's Keys for Kids, which is a Bible thing. I have Pocket Sword and a few other Bible things here. There's all sorts of things here that I've got here. A speed tester, Google Maps, everyone's got that. They've got their camera in their phone. But these apps are amazing things, and there are some that you would use more than others. And there's one that I find a really good one. Now, if you've got an iPhone, you can flick it up and you can put the torch on. But I've got a phone app here that has better than And I'm sure, who's used the torch on their phone? Who's used that torch before? Yeah, everyone has. It's a good thing. You can have all sorts of things. You brighten it up, and there's this one here. Where's the one? Has anyone got heart problems here? Mr. Phillips, you might want to close your eyes. Where do this one is? This one here. This is a goodie, isn't it? Okay? But then there's this one here as well, which is an interesting one too. What's that? It's an SOS, isn't it? It's an SOS. What is it using? Someone tell me. It's using Morse code. Series of dots and dashes, dits and darves. Okay? Now, if you were around John McKay a few years ago, I don't know how long ago, it was about 10 years ago, he was going for his ham license. And to get your ham license, you needed to know Morse code. And most of the time, he would walk around communicating, not with English, he would communicate with Morse code. Da-da, dit-dit-dit-dit, da-da, and all. That's what he would... It's true, isn't it? Didn't he do that? He would walk around, dee-dee-dut-dut to you, and you'd scratch your head and wonder what he was doing. All right? But it's interesting about this little thing, and I want to look at this evening. SOS. What is it? We know it's Morse code. But what else do you know about SOS? It stands for Save Our Souls, or Save Our Ship. Okay, but did you know that wasn't the plan with that? Oh, Steve Hulls, you haven't mentioned messages. True. Thanks, Steve, for that. You can message on your phone as well. True. I have got that in the sermon later on, believe it or not. Thanks for that, Steve. It's usually Ken that would do that. But the thing is, it wouldn't be just me. It'd be half a dozen other people in there too would receive it. But this little thing... this could go on forever. And what is it? S, three dots. O, three dashes. S, three dots. Some dit, 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 da, 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 dit, dit, dit. And it goes on and on. But it wasn't always the case. And most people, I'll turn it off so it doesn't distract you now, and I'll put that away. And most people think that, yeah, that's how it was planned, that's how it was done. But it wasn't. SOS wasn't planned to mean save our souls. Wasn't planned that way. In fact, back in the late 19th century, when wireless came into being by Marconi, okay, I didn't call it radio, it was wireless. They called it wireless back then because it didn't have wires. And everything before that, if you sent messages to anyone by telegraph, you'd da-da-da, telegraph lines. But when Marconi invented the wireless, they realized that they really needed something for things like ships to use when they were in distress. And the original distress signal used particularly by the English was what? Does anyone know? It was CQD. Okay? CQD. Now, CQ stands for, John's not here tonight, I'll have to have a word with him. CQ stands for, no radio buffs here. CQ, CQDX, CQ, all stations. All right? CQ stands for all stations, and the D was put there for, what do you think? Distress. Okay? All stations, distress. Okay, now that lasted for a little while, a few years, until the German government decided they would change it. They had a better idea. They had lots of good ideas back then, the German government, in the early 19th century, and not many people agreed with them, but eventually they did adopt SOS, basically because it was easy to send and easy to recognise. It was a lot more easier to recognise than CQD. Okay, so it was decided on the, let me find the date here, 1st of July 1908. It was adopted by the International Congress of Wireless Telegraphy that this would be the nationally accepted distress call. All right, and it was so for about 100 years. It's not the nationally accepted distress call anymore. I think it was about in 2009, they stopped it. So about 100 years, this has remained the nationally accepted international distress call. And if we, most of us would have understood when we said SOS, what it meant, what it was for. All right? Save our souls. Now, one of the most famous SOSs ever sent out was what? Do you think? The Titanic. Okay. Way back in April 15th, 1912, the Titanic, which was the largest ship in the world at that stage, in fact, one of the crew members commented to someone as they got on that God himself could not sink this ship. Sadly, he probably went into eternity regretting having said something like that. But he said that, and on its very first voyage, we know that the Titanic hit an iceberg and sunk. It wasn't a quick thing. It lasted quite a few hours, and there were distress calls sent out, and SOS was one of them. The thing was this. The people who operated the radio sets back then worked for the Marconi Company, and the Marconi Company stuck with CQD. So the fellow who was sending out the distress thing started off with CQD, and then someone said to him, try SOS. So he tried to SOS interspersed with CQD. But that's probably the most famous of the things, that great ship, and it was a great ship. It was 53,310 tons. It was 270 metres long, 28 metres wide. From the top of the funnel to the bottom of the keel, it was 54 metres. The rudder at the back weighed 100 tonnes. That's no small rudder. But then this was the largest ship. And it had 46,000 horsepower. It cost £1.25 million. And it sunk on its first trip. It was a fateful first trip. In that fateful first trip, it carried 2,206 people. 703 were saved. 1,503 were lost. It's a very sad story, and we know there's stories intermingled with those with this particular sinking of this ship, which are amazing stories. And we sang a song this evening. Abide With Me was one of the hymns that they played, one of the songs they played as the ship was sinking. So I want to have a little bit of a look at this evening. I want to make an application, an app if you like, to this and the world today. This SOS that was sent out from the Titanic, because when we think about it, like the Titanic, there are those in the world today that are lost. They were lost. In fact, that's the way we all start. We all start out in that category. There's two categories. One of them is lost. We all start there. It tells us in Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. We start in that category. We start as those ones that are lost. But then there's another category of people too. That is the category of people that are saved. In the Titanic's case, there were 703 of them that were saved that morning, that day. 703. It tells us, if we turn to Luke chapter 19, that the Son of Man had an aim when he came to this earth. Luke chapter 19 and verse 10, for the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost. This is what Jesus Christ came in the world to do, to take those from the category of being lost and put them into the category of being saved. And I want to have a careful look at this morning, this save our souls, this SOS. Because in the world today, there are those that have accepted the offer of salvation offered by the Son of Man, the Good Shepherd, and they've entered into the fold, they're saved. But there are those ones that have realized their peril and have turned, changed position. They've sent out the SOS and have entered in to that place of salvation. So this evening what I want to do is have a look at these letters, S-O-S. And with each one, with S, there's three dips. With O, there's three does, and with S, there's three dits. So there's 3 points under each section as we look at that this evening. So first we want to have a look at this first word here, save. Save. And the first point is this, there is no other definite way to be saved. No other definite way to be saved. If we go back to the passage where we started in John chapter 10, we'll have a look at that verse that we've read. John chapter 10 and verse 9, it says, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. This shows me that there is a definite way. There is a definite way to enter into the fold. It's through the door. That's the only way. There's no other way to get in. It's through the door, and Jesus Christ said he was that door. There is no other definite way but to come via the Lord Jesus Christ. It's the only door. There's only one way. Then also want to look at John chapter 14 and verse 6, and we should know this verse where Jesus says this. He says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. And we know here these terms here when Jesus uses these terms, the way, the truth, the life, those terms are definite articles. Jesus is saying, I alone am the way. I alone am the truth. I alone am the life. It's something that's definite. There's no other definite way to be saved but to go through that door, through the way, the Lord Jesus Christ. The second dit for save. There's no other name or person who can save. There's only one. Only one way. There's only one name. Let's turn to Acts chapter 4 and verse 12 and read a little bit about that. Acts chapter 4 and verse 12. It says, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. What is that name? Have a look back in verse 10. It tells us what that name is. By the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. There is the name. There's only one name that's acceptable. There's no other options. There are no other names. There's no other salvation. This is your only ticket into the fold. This is your only ticket to be saved into pasture. This is your only ticket. So there is no other name, no other person but the Lord Jesus Christ. The third point, for the letter S, to do with saved. There is no other method than by confession and grace. There is no other method than confession and grace. Let's turn to Romans chapter 10. Romans chapter 10. And beginning at verse 9. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus Christ, and believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. For there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. And whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. There's one definite method here. That is confession. Confession that the Lord Jesus Christ died for our sins. Confession that we believe that we were unrighteous. That Jesus Christ was the righteous one who paid for our sins and rose again to make us righteous. And if we call on him, he will save us by his grace. No other method than by confession and grace. It tells us in Ephesians 2, 8 and 9, for by grace are ye saved through faith, and not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. It's not what we can do, It's what is given as a gift for us to accept and appreciate. And I ask the question, are you there yet? Are you there yet? Have you confessed your faith in the gift of grace offered to you by God? So that's save. The next one is our. The three da's of our. Now, when we think about it, we see this word here is a personal possessive pronoun. And it's important that it's this personal possessive pronoun. Because when we think about it, God doesn't save in batches. Okay? He doesn't save in families. He doesn't save in ethnic groups. There's no group bookings. There's no upsizing. There's no two-for-one offers. God does it in a personal way for an individual. It's a personal possessive pronoun. He gives it to individuals this opportunity to possess something of eternal value. He has always dealt in this personal way right throughout history, right from Adam and Eve. He dealt with them in a personal way, and he will continue to do that right through history. Now, I want to have a look just quickly with this our business. I just want to remind you quickly of three individuals in the Bible that God dealt with personally. Three personalities in the Bible that God brought salvation to. And one of them, not necessarily salvation in terms of being born again, but we'll see that in a moment. The first one is the Philippian jailer. Now, we know about this Philippian jailer. We had a message about him not so long ago. So let's turn to Acts chapter 16. We're only going to quickly just touch on these individuals and show that God deals on a personal level. In Acts chapter 16, we're just going to read a couple of verses here towards the end of the chapter, beginning at verse 30. And it says, "And brought them out and said," this is the jailer, "brought them out and said, sirs, what must I do to be saved?" Now, this is an interesting turn of events. I wonder if he, right throughout their imprisonment, whether he called them sirs. I don't think so. He probably called them lots of other things while they were locked and stocked up. But here his attitude has changed. And he says, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" And they said, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved, and thy house." So we find here the Philippian jailer asks this question of these two missionary evangelists. He asks the right question. How did he know what question to ask? That's an interesting thought, isn't it? How did he know? Was he asking them, they're going to kill me, these guys. The head honchos are really going to kill me for this. They would, too. Was he asking them, how am I going to be saved from certain death? No, he wasn't. How did he know to ask this question? How did he know? He must have known a little bit about these two. He must have heard what they were saying and what they were doing in that jail that night. So, what was it that he asked for? He asked for salvation. How is it that I become born again? And the answer was, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. And as a result of this man sending out the SOS, so to speak, asking the right question, saying, how can I be saved? Save my soul. He was saved. And then we find also that God worked individually in those of his household as well. And they accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as their Saviour. Here the Philippian jailer sent out the SOS. Another person who sent out an SOS was back in the book of Luke and chapter 23. And the scene here is at the cross. And we know at the cross there were three crosses. Jesus Christ in the middle, and on the outside they call them two malefactors. And we know that one of them one of them rained on the Lord Jesus Christ. He cursed him. And if we read this little passage here, we'll see what happens here. Luke chapter 23 and beginning at verse 39. And one of the malefactors, which were hanged, railed on him, saying, "If thou be Christ, save thyself and us." But the other, answering, rebuked him, saying, "Dost thou not fear God, seeing that thou art in the same condemnation? And we indeed justly, for we receive the due reward of our deeds. But this man had done nothing wrong." And he said unto Jesus, "Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom." And Jesus said unto him, "Verily I say unto thee, today thou shalt be with me in paradise." Here's one thief hanging there, railing on the Lord Jesus Christ, accusing him of all sorts of things. He was lost. Here's another thief who realizes who the Lord Jesus Christ is, that he was the Son sent to save the lost. Now, how did he know this? Do you think he was watching what was going on? Yes. Do you think he'd witnessed some things and perhaps know a little bit about the Lord Jesus Christ? He did know, because he said, "This man had done nothing amiss." And we find here the thief on the cross sends out an SOS. And the Lord Jesus Christ says to him, "This day you will be with me in paradise. Come through the door. I'm the door. I'm the way. Come into the sheepfold." He sent out the SOS and was saved. The last character we're going to look at is found back in Matthew chapter 14. And this one isn't necessarily related to salvation, because sometimes we need to send out the SOS when there's trouble, when we're in strife. Matthew chapter 14, and here's the scene of the disciples in a boat. And we know this story as when Peter walked on water. We go down to verse 29, and we'll pick up the story there. "And he said, come, and when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked onto the water to go to Jesus. But when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid. And he was beginning to sink, he cried, saying, Lord, save me. And immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him and said unto him, O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt? And when they were come into the ship, the wind ceased." Here's the disciples that had been sent out by Jesus. And if you go back to verse 22, they were sent out by Jesus. It tells them there, he constrained his disciples to get into the ship and go on before him. Jesus had a plan, and this plan was for Peter. And we find as they went out, and as they'd gone out many times before, I'm sure, that things began to go wrong. Verse 24, "But the ship was now in the midst of the sea, tossed with waves, for the wind was contrary." Here it was, out in the middle of the sea, being tossed to and fro, and they see Jesus walking to them on the water, and Peter wants to go to the Lord, and Jesus bids him to come. Peter hops out of the ship and begins to walk on the water. But then something happens. Something happens. His attention goes off the Lord. He looks around and sees what's going on and sees, whoop, there's water under there, and starts to sink. He gets his eyes off the Lord in a time of strife, in a time of trouble. And then he has to call out. He sends out the SOS and says, "Lord, save me." And Jesus reaches out and saves Peter, plucks him out of the waves. And then he says to him, "Ye of little faith." But sometimes we need to be in those places to learn the lesson. And I'm sure that's what the Lord had in mind when he sent them out on the water. He knew this was going to happen. He had a lesson for them to learn. And we learn lessons of faith in the storms, as long as we are out in the midst seeking the Saviour. And that's what Peter was doing. He was out there seeking the Saviour, but needed to learn the lesson. When you're in the midst of the storms, where should your eyes be? Not on the things that are going on around you, but firmly fixed on the Saviour who's just ahead of you, just there, ready to catch you. Peter sent out the SOS. So there's those three. The Philippian jailer sent out the SOS. The thief on the cross, right on the death knell, so to speak, sent out that SOS. And then the Apostle Peter, in that time of distress, sent out an SOS. So we come to the final word, souls. Now, every person has a soul, whether they believe it or not. It's something that gives you existence into eternity. It's something that belongs to everybody that is eternal. It's something that God gave to man at creation. He made us living souls. It gives you what's called personhood. It gives individuals personal life. So I want to look at now three characteristics of the soul. So we've done three dits for S, three dars for O. So what are we up to? Three dits again for S. So the first thing I want to have a look at is this some characteristics of the soul. First of all, it needs saving. And we've already talked a fair bit about this. You're either lost or you're saved. If you're lost, you need to be saved. There's a problem. And our soul is condemned because of sin. Only faith in the Lord Jesus Christ will save it. And what is the end result of this faith? Let's turn to 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 9. 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 9. It says here, receiving the end of your faith. What's your reward for faith in Jesus? Even the salvation of your souls. Your soul needs saving. The only way to do that is faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And it says, if you have that faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, you will receive salvation. Your soul needs salvation. So what should we do? We should send out that SOS. Save our souls. Then also, number two, it needs rest and comfort. Our souls need rest and comfort. Let's go back to Matthew chapter 11 and look to see what Jesus told us about rest and comfort for our souls. Our souls need saving, but when we're saved, we also need, like Peter needed, sometimes some rest and comfort. It says here in Matthew chapter 11, verses 28 and 9, come unto me, all ye that labour and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Our souls have that desire to have comfort and rest. It also tells us, if we turn back to Psalm 46, about God being our comfort and rest as well. Let's turn there, Psalm 46. It says there in verse 1, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in time of trouble. God is there in those times of trouble. It said he is a very present help. This word very means exceeding, vehement. And present means to come forth. It means in times of trouble, God is going to be there. In times of trouble for our soul, God comes forth exceedingly to give refuge, strength, and comfort. Okay? God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in time of trouble. When you're in strife, where's the first place you go? Do you send out the SOS? Save my soul. Do you go to the Lord who gives you refuge and strength in time of trouble? And then the last point here, the last dip for soul, our soul needs sustenance. It thirsts. Let's turn to Psalm 63. Psalm 63 and verse 1. O God, thou art my God, early will I seek thee. My soul thirsteth for thee, my flesh longeth for thee, in a dry and thirsty land where there is no water. This sustenance, this relief of the thirst that our souls have, is found in God. Is that your desire as we head into this new year? To thirst after God? To find relief and refuge in God? Refreshing waters that revive the thirsty soul from his word? And do you drink at that well every day to revive that thirsty soul? Are you in the word daily? Have you made that your habit as you've begun this year? Have you found sustenance not just in the word, but in the living word, the Lord Jesus Christ, who, as we know, he is the word, but he is also the water of life that relieves our thirst? Have you established a relationship with Christ? Have you sent out that SOS to gain that life-giving, soul-refreshing water of eternal life? So this evening, what I ask, as I asked at the beginning, where are you? Make your own application this evening. Have you sent out that SOS? Have you sent out that, well, if you want to do CQD, I could have done CQD, I suppose, but everyone understands SOS. Have you sent out that SOS for salvation? Have you sent out that SOS for help in time of trouble? Make sure you apply these things today. So next time you hear something SOS, have a think about, reflect on these things. Remember also that you could be helped, used by the Lord to help answer an SOS that someone is sending out. Someone sending out that SOS, save our souls. You could be that instrument that saves our souls.